Growing up, I loved playing computer games, but I have not found something in adulthood that scratches that same itch. Video games don't do it. I can't use that controller. It's just not it for me. But oh my goodness, I am so glad I recently started playing June's Journey. Okay, June's Journey is like I Spy meets Carmen Sandiego, meets The Sims, meets horror movies. It's so wild and it's so, so fun to play. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story taking you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. Each new scene takes you further through a thrilling murder mystery story that sets the main protagonist, June Parker, on a quest to solve the murder of her sister and uncover her family's many secrets. June is fabulous. She has a fabulous little hat and feather in her cap. She's at this family estate on this gorgeous island that you can decorate, which you know that I love to do. And then as you're going, you go into different rooms of the house. You find clues that are going to lead to the suspicious murder of June's sister and brother-in-law. It's so dark. Like, you're looking for clues inside of a murder scene photo. But also, all I want to do is find the trophy and the riding crop and the muddy footprint that might be a clue about, wait, was there another person there? It's so intriguing. It's so fun. I love playing it. At the end of the day, just sitting on the couch, you know, that state of mind where you're not ready to go to bed yet. You don't want to be watching TV anymore. It's sort of just background noise. I want to be looking around my little island for clues. And that's why I love having June's Journey. Right now, I'm in the chapter where we are really uncovering some salacious information. There seems to have been a third person there the night of the murder. And that is not what we believed at the beginning. So, you know, I'm ready to figure out more about this mystery third person because I think it might be the key to everything. And so you better believe I'm about to dive back in, and you can do just the same. Escape reality and immerse yourself in the world of June Parker. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy, and you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Too Scary Didn't Watch, the horror movie recap podcast for those too scared to watch for themselves. I'm Emily, and I am too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Henley, and I'm also too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Sammy, and I love watching scary movies, and so I watch them, and I tell you about them, so you don't have to experience them firsthand, but you can still know all the details. You can be in the know.
Ooh, baby, keeping you in the know.
But before we get into this week's movie, did anything scary happen to us this week?
Okay, so I guess this is pretty scary.
Okay, I like where this is starting. Seems promising.
So for the past week, I live on the fourth floor. And the elevator in our apartment building broke about 10 days ago. So everyone's been taking the stairs, a lot of stair activity in my apartment building. Also, I think really stressful for a lot of people who live in the building who like really need that elevator and have a lot of trouble going up and down the stairs.
Yeah.
The thing that's kind of alarming to me is that there has been a really bad smell permeating the stairwell in my apartment building for several days now. And they have been washing the floors constantly. And I am worried someone died in one of their apartments.
Oh,
and that's what the smell
my God.
Is. I don't know because I have no idea what that would smell like, but I do know that it smells really bad. And Tim disagrees with me. Tim is like, you're being crazy. No.
But it's not like an identifiable smell to you.
I've never smelled it before.
No, before. That's interesting smelling a new smell in general. I don't like that
at all.
I don't know what it is. And I almost like don't like, sorry, this is just too much, but it does smell, it smells like something, it just smells bad, you yeah. guys. Like, I think, yeah. like, it smells really bad. And Tim doesn't think that, he thinks I'm being a little dramatic, and he probably is right.
This does happen, though. I know someone who this happened to in New York City.
Yeah.
Someone in his building died yeah. in their apartment, and it, like, really smelled for a while.
Yeah.
People gotta die somewhere.
I know.
They've gotta die somewhere, and there's a lot of people in New York.
I know. It's really sad. I'm sorry.
But wouldn't they have told you, do you think, or no?
No, they may not know is the thing. If it still smells.
Oh, you think there's a body currently in there that they haven't found?
That's what I thought you were saying.
No. I think that they
if
probably...
If it still smells, they're still there.
I think they probably have found the body by now, but it still
smells. I love
smells.
When she starts to whisper.
I thought you started to whisper.
Bad. It still smells so... Like, it's dissipated a little bit. The smell has gone down. But it's... They're just also... It's really... I don't know whether it's because people are taking the stairs more often, but they are cleaning a lot. There's a lot of cleaning going on in a way that is not normal, and it is not helping the smell. So I don't know what's going on, but hopefully the smell goes away soon. Hopefully everyone is safe and healthy in my building. But the scary thing is that in my head, every time I walk in and out of my building now, I can't help but think there's a dead person in here. Who died? Yeah.
That is scary.
Yeah.
It's pretty scary, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yikes.
I don't know what else to say about it. I'm sorry.
I don't know what else to say about it either. I hope the situation improves.
I know. And, you know... Here's the thing is that I feel like this segment is supposed to be like a little lighthearted, and I feel like I accidentally keep like talking about things that are too
this segment, which I love referring to it as a segment, is supposed to be whatever we need it to be. And
that's right.
Sometimes we need to talk about
the dead
fact that
body
someone
in our
might
apartment
have died
building.
In our apartment. Sometimes that's what we need it to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It exists for us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for you guys supporting me in this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Always.
Okay, what about you guys?
Mine's a little different.
Okay.
Tonally.
Tonally, it's different?
Tonally different. I guess what's scary about it is how much I can't stop thinking about this. And it is Jared Leto being nominated for a Screen Actors Guild Award for his performance in House of Gucci.
I want to be like a pigeon so I can fly.
It makes me, it's, you know what? It's like a derealization moment. Like my therapist would tell me where I like need to hold an ice cube. I'm like, wait, what? He got
and
nominated.
Everybody went like, good acting, good.
But like a jury of his peers too, like specifically it being the Screen Actors Guild nominating him, it really blows my mind. And I know in general, awards things are usually not correct. And that will never stop me from being mad about them and thinking Oof. About them. But I just think it's so crazy. House of Gucci is one of the craziest movies I've ever seen. I could not stop thinking about it after we saw it.
You started whispering.
I guess it's because I'm being like taken back
it's
to
wistful,
those times.
It's wistful whispering.
It's a wistful whisper. Because it also got nominated for Best Performance by a Cast. And it just seems like everybody...
Maybe because they were acting in 8 different movies,
they were all
which
in
was
a different
impressive.
Movie. Everybody was in a different movie. But Jared Leto specifically, all the scenes with him and Al Pacino, to me, were very reminiscent of an Adam Sandler movie called Jack and Jill. And I'm just like, no one can deny... that he was acting really big and really hard in it. That much is true. But
yeah, maybe it's just because of how hard he was acting.
He was acting really hard. He was really going for it. He dedicated that like himself to that performance 110%. Nobody's saying he didn't do that. Was it one of the 5 best performances of the year? I don't think so. I think it was a comedy performance. It's just like, it makes me feel crazy that
it was one
we're
of
nominating
the 5
him.
Most performances of the year.
Yes.
I would love if that were a category. Wait, most so performance.
Acting hardest.
So do you guys know how the Screen Actor Guild works? Like, is it like, do people just vote?
SAG members vote.
It's, yeah.
Like,
I think it's
across
just
the board, or are they like,
the board.
Like nominations put forth and then they vote on those nominations? Do you know what I mean?
I should know this as a member of SAG.
I think you vote twice. I think you vote for yes. to
and,
create the
and
nominations.
Not everyone in SAG can vote. There is like they pick members at random, I think, who then are like invited to all the screenings and watch all the things. And I think mm-hmm. they put forth the nominations.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I'm a really bad union member who never pays attention.
But I mean, regardless, should not be nominated in this category or in any category except maybe a Razzie. Sorry. Also, Jared Leto,
ooh,
not a good person. And I don't
also
understand.
Also not a good person.
I don't understand why. I mean, I guess I do understand because that's the way it seems to go. But mm-hmm. he hasn't skipped a beat in jobs. He is a working actor. Nobody's blinking an eye.
Work, work, work.
And yeah, it just makes me feel really crazy and I can't stop thinking about it. And I really am going to lose my mind if he wins.
Oh my God. I hope he does his speech in the accent. And the suit.
For those of us who haven't seen the movie, can you give us a little taste of what's happening with his acting in this film?
Well, he's in a fat suit, which in 2022, I feel like it's like, why are we still doing that?
Fat suit, bald cap.
What's his character?
He talks like this. Hey, papa.
He's so Italian.
He's so Italian.
Oh, my God.
I'm Italian, the gay man. It's like really, truly that line. It's something to the effect of, I want to be like a pigeon so I can fly.
Oh,
it's
no.
So that's like my best possible impression. It's really
it's
insane.
It's spot on. It's like a very hammy, like funny performance. And I do believe he is trying to be funny. Like there's yeah. no way that this is a serious performance. But yeah, he is playing a real person, whoever it is. It was mad about it.
Makes sense.
No, I think he's dead.
I think the Gucci family in general was like mad about everything in the movie.
They did him dirty. I would be upset for sure.
All right.
Pretty wild. Yeah, that's it. I just can't stop thinking about it. And it's scary that it's how much of my headspace is devoted to.
Mm-hmm.
House of Gucci in general. But that said, I do think people should see House of Gucci because it is just...
You should, definitely should.
Like one of the craziest movies ever made.
I do. You've made me curious. You've made me curious.
You
I do want to see it.
You should see it. It's weird, man.
Isn't it really long?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it really long?
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yikes.
Mine is also tonally different, I think, than both of these.
Okay.
So we're giving you a variety this week.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned that I am moving,
mm-hmm.
and I guess what's scary is I'm moving in with my boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just isn't that such a crazy thing to do?
It is.
It's just a crazy thing to do.
It's a big change.
It's a big change.
You like spend so much time together already, it's different when your space is a shared space.
Yeah, it's just like it's. I'm like, have zero doubts. Zero doubts. It's so great. We're so excited. It's the right choice. It's been great so far. Like it's like, yeah, this is what you do when you want to like share a life with someone.
Yeah.
But also to be like, I've lived alone for 4 years. And I've gotten really good at living alone and like taking care of me and my space and my needs and same for him. And so it's just like, wait, we're going to be around each other like all the time. And I know that we won't.
Yeah.
But there's just a lot of stuff that I do that is alone stuff, you know, like
yeah.
so much of my existence is like alone time. And I do things that one would do when no one else is around. And so now it's like, are there going to is there going to be someone around? Like, what do you do? And I've lived with a partner before, but it just, I had never lived alone when that happened. I was a lot younger. I am who I am, and I've got my weird shit and my habits and my like adult life and body and habits. And I'm like, what? You know what I mean?
It is crazy. I think it's definitely different when you've lived alone for a long time. So you have all these ways of going about your day that are specific to you in that alone time. Here's the thing, though. You guys aren't moving into one room with no doors or like walls.
Correct.
You will still have alone time.
So you're saying I can sneak away and do my alone stuff.
You will still absolutely have alone time, even though you guys are living together.
I've been texting you about it, Hen. You live with someone. Do you live with two people? One of them's tiny. Because it's not even... I'm excited about it. I'm like eager for it. I just feel like I'm like a curious little baby where I'm like, how does it work? Like, I just found myself because I'm like, no, the way that you live as an adult is alone. So what is it like when there's someone else there? How do you do food? How do you do? Like, I'm like, I just feel like I don't know how any of it works.
I think you guys just figure it out as you go along and things kind of like happen organically. So one thing, for example, is that Tim almost always goes to bed after I do. And that's
going to be a guarantee.
Yeah, that's like built in alone time right there, because like I'll read in bed and then like fall asleep, or realistically nowadays watch TikTok videos until I fall asleep while Tim is like out like doing work or reading or whatever in the other room. And like that's kind of like built in alone time.
I'll keep you guys posted. I'm very curious.
I think this is the right attitude.
Like a little explorer.
To go into it with, yes, this curious mind. I think that's the way to go without like rigid expectations of what it should be like. And I think that's the way to do it.
I don't know, you guys. Food is the biggest thing for me because there are alone meals, you know? There is food that's meant to be eaten alone. Like sometimes if I don't have time,
like a boiled egg over the sink with slices of cheese.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Or like sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't have time to, I haven't been very healthy today. I don't really have time to eat anything, but I need some greens. I'll just grab a handful of spring mix and throw it in my mouth like a little rabbit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That is just normal. That is normal 100% of the way.
Maybe what I'm about to discover is just like, oh, everyone does this.
Everyone. I mean, no, absolutely. You and Joel are going to be having weird little separate meals all the time.
Thank God.
You can't have every meal together.
You also just can't have every meal be a meal you want someone to see. That's really what I'm about. It's not about eating it together. It's about like be able to be secret about some of the things that you do, like that you put into your body, that you put out of your body. Some of these things should be alone, completely in secret and never known by anyone. So it's, you know what? It's scary. It's unknown. But yeah, I'm a little anthropologist and I'm gonna report back about what it is like to live with another human as if nobody has ever done it before.
Oh boy. All right. Well, let's get into this week's movie.
Yes.
Which is 13 Ghosts. It came out in 2001, directed by Steve Beck, written by Neil Marshall Stevens and Richard D'Ovidio, based on story by Rob White, and also uncredited writers Todd Alcott and James Gunn. A lot of writers here.
James Gunn, like Guardians of the Galaxy James Gunn?
Yeah, that's the one. He was additional writer, so I don't know, maybe he came in for a rewrite or something. But also, he is also uncredited, which on IMDb, I'm confused when they say that, because it's like you're crediting him
he's
here.
He's right here.
Yeah,
but I guess he's not credited in the actual movie is what that means.
Right. Oh, okay.
It is starring Tony Shalhoub, Matthew Lillard, M. Beth Davids, Shannon Elizabeth, Alec Roberts, J.R. Bourne, Ra Diga, and F. Murray Abraham, and it is streaming on Netflix.
This is a fun cast. Wait, does this mean that we're going to get to listen to Emily do a Matthew Lillard impression again?
I'll try my best, baby.
So.
I'll try my best. Gotta love that Lillard.
And this is a movie that was in one of our Instagram polls and it lost to the taking of Deborah Logan, but only by like 3 votes. So I felt like we had to do it.
Had to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. This is one I know nothing about it. Nothing.
Same.
Which is interesting because I feel like this is around when movies like The Ring and The Grudge and all those came out. And those are like seared into my memory at that time of the commercials and the posters and being terrified. This one somehow totally went over my head.
I don't know anything about this one. Is it about someone being visited by 13 ghosts?
Good guess.
Sort of.
Okay.
This is one that I saw at the time. Yeah, it came out in 2001, so I would have been 12. And
you saw it in theaters?
No, I didn't see it in theaters. I probably saw it like a year or two later.
Okay.
When it came out on VHS.
Like Blockbuster.
And it just kind of took me back to there was this time when I was in high school that I watched a lot of this type of movie. Like I watched Saw. And there was a movie called Cube that was so nasty.
Wait, so this is nasty? This is a nasty one?
It's a little nasty.
Is it on the level of, is it like a torture porn movie?
No, I think it's like also quite silly.
You know what, Sammy? I never know. I never know
you
with
can't
you.
Can't trust what I say.
I can't trust you. Where you're coming from. You did adequately warn us about Audition, though, so.
Yeah. I don't think too much nasty stuff happens in this. It's, the thing that's nastiest is something that I won't be able to sufficiently get across, which is the costume and design of the ghosts, which they all just, the, like, makeup and, like, special effects, I guess, or, like,
the prosthetics.
I guess it's, like, kind of creature design-y. Yeah, prosthetics.
Oh, cool.
Like, they look nasty.
Will we get any of it in the trailer?
Oh, we sure will.
Okay.
But, yeah, let me give you some trivia. 17% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, my God!
30% on Metacritic and 5.6 on IMDb.
Oh, whoa. No. This is bad. Matthew Lillard. Come on.
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
The budget was $42 million. Box office was $68.5 million. But with advertising and stuff factored in, it still lost money. And it was Steve Beck's directorial debut. After this movie, Beck would only direct one more film, the similarly themed Ghost Ship in 2002. Which,
now, this one I have heard of.
Jess told us about this one, right?
Yep.
I think she did. You're right. Wow, I can't believe we haven't done it. A ghost vessel movie?
We gotta do it. But
gotta
I think,
freaking do it.
I do think that opening scene that we've heard about is probably the highlight of the whole movie. But
sure.
I think it would be a fun one to do nonetheless. And then we will have covered Steve Beck's entire filmography.
Oh, I'd love to check that box. Huge. That would be huge for us.
That would be huge for us. Roger Ebert praised the production values, saying the production is first rate. The physical look of the picture is splendid. However, he criticized the story, lack of interesting characters, loud soundtrack, and poor editing. In 2005, he included it on his list of most hated films.
Oh my God.
No.
That's so funny. That's such a thing where, like, when you see your friends, like, play and you don't like it at all, and you have to be like, what did I like? The design. Oh, it looked so good.
I also, it's funny to me to criticize, I know what he means, but it's funny to use the term loud soundtrack because it makes it sound like, we'll just turn it down. Like, was it just on too loud?
Right.
Was the volume up too high? Obviously, it means, like, the music in it, I guess, is too intense.
Levels.
This next piece of trivia says, the special effects and sound mixing were so elaborate in this film that many people claimed that the movie was physically painful to sit through.
Oh, no. Did you feel that way?
No, I didn't feel that way, but maybe in theaters it would have been, because, yeah, I just turned it down.
Physically painful?
But it does have that. Saw kind of has this too, that vibe of it being like kind of grungy and metal and like, bleh,
like it's like meant
really
to like
fast.
So
yeah, salting
your little
the
hairs up, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. two actors in this, Raw Digga and Alec Roberts, decided never to act again after being in this movie.
Brutal.
And F. Murray Abraham has stated he only did the film for the money. So,
God.
Not great feedback from the cast.
Yeah.
Or the critics. But I think it's
I can't
fun.
Wait to hear. I cannot wait to hear what you think.
I love Matthew Lillard. And so yeah, his man. Presence in any movie just makes it, I think, enjoyable. I'm there. If Matthew Lillard is there, I'm there.
Wow. Okay.
Talk about, yeah, blast from the past. Matthew Lillard, where are you now?
Where are you what now, are you doing? Matthew?
Well, I was just telling Emily, his IMDb says he is in 237 things. So he has been working.
A lot of things.
And I just haven't seen most of these things, 230 or so of them.
Like recently he's been in that many things?
Well, that's like his...
I'm looking him up right now. Scooby-Doo. The thing he's known for is Scooby-Doo still.
Oh, that's right. He was in Scooby-Doo.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you know what he's in? He's in Bosch, which is one of those TV shows that you hear about all the time and you always see like posters of and shit. And you're like, what is this about? Who's watching this? What is Bosch? Why is it still on? There have been like 8 seasons of this
show.
I
feel like it's a punchline in SNL a lot where they're like, I'm just watching, caught the latest episode of Bosch.
I feel like it's like a dad show, like a certain yeah. kind of dad exclusively. Mm-hmm. Watches Bosch.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And like Yellowstone. Is that what it's called?
Yellowstone is a show as well.
Okay, I'm sorry. He's only in 150 things. I was wrong when I glanced at it earlier, but still, he's a working actor doing
a
lot of things.
He's a working actor.
But this was like his heyday, I'd say. This 2001 mm-hmm. 13 Ghosts was after Scream.
Just a couple years after Scream, baby.
After SLC Punk, which was another one that he was... so great in. But okay, let's watch this trailer.
Ooh-hoo-hoo.
I can't wait for you guys to see some Uh-oh. Of these images.
Okay, Uh-oh. Let's do it. Let's do it.
There are ghosts around us all the time. Most of them, they can't hurt us. Most of them don't even want to hurt us. But there are exceptions.
Is it bad tonight?
Oh, bad? It is my professional opinion. We should get the hell out of here. Now.
I represent the estate of your Uncle Cyrus.
We have an Uncle Cyrus?
Cyrus recorded this message 6 weeks ago. He asked it to be played for you in the event of his death.
Arthur, I've instructed my lawyer to deliver my last will and testament.
A key?
A key to what?
A key to your new house. This house is the fruit of my life's work.
Oh my God.
It is a one-of-a-kind home.
It's marvelous, isn't it?
Wow.
Arthur, we've got some papers to sign in the library. After that, I would love to take you and the family around a tour of the house.
This place is awesome!
All right, now I know I'm dreaming.
Well, your uncle was quite a collector of many things.
What the hell was that?
This Halloween.
You're wasting your time. It's all sealed up.
The only thing worse than being trapped in a house with a ghost.
This house is not a house. We're in the middle of a machine. Powered by the dead.
Is being trapped in a house with 13 ghosts.
Maggie!
What?
We got company.
Where? I can't see.
How close is it?
Close enough to hurt you. Go, 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 go!
Can I rely on you not to get me killed?
I guarantee nothing.
I mean, how watchable is Lillard, man? What a star.
He's the best.
That read as a comedy, like through
it's
and
funny.
Through.
It's like,
it's really
there
funny.
Was a part that was like, I feel like Emily could handle this, but I don't know. But it is pretty funny.
It didn't feel scary to me. Honestly, it didn't feel scary to me at all. I completely understand the loud soundtrack portion now.
Yeah.
It feels like they're on a set of a bad, like, Christina Aguilera music video or something. Like, it's like the house itself is so ludicrous.
Yeah.
And it just looks like it's the whole thing. They're just like trapped in rooms and there's a scary ghost and then they die. That's like what it's about, right?
But it's funny that they have to wear glasses to see the ghosts, maybe. Mm-hmm. There's like special just some goggles.
Handy little ghost glasses, yes.
I also. What's that girl from?
Shannon Elizabeth.
Some teen show from that time.
I think American Pie.
She's from like.
Oh, yeah.
There's something that I was like, oh, this girl. I mean, I've never seen American Pie, actually, but.
Oh, and Jay and Silent Bob.
That's probably what I'm thinking of.
And then is that Monk?
Monk, baby. Shalhoub?
Tony Shalhoub.
Yeah, that's Monk. Ever heard of it?
That's all I can think when I see him.
I love that copy. The only thing worse than being trapped in a house with a ghost is being trapped in a house with 13 ghosts.
It's the only thing worse. Not 14. 14 would be better. 14, even number. You can sort of handle it. 13, yikes, scary number. Did you guys watch Monk ever? Did you guys ever watch Monk? I loved Monk.
I caught an episode here and there.
Same. If it was like on, I would watch it.
I feel like it was always on. I feel like there was a period of time where Monk was the only show on TV between the hours of like noon and 6 p.m. It was like any channel, it's just Monk. every doctor's office, just Monk.
But when I think Tony Shalhoub, I think my favorite movie, Galaxy Quest, which he is great in.
Oh,
yeah. He's great. Tony Shalhoub. We love Tony Shalhoub.
We love him.
Also, what a fun name. Are you kidding me? Shalhoub?
Shalhoub. Sign me up. Sign me up.
Okay. Wow. What is this going to be? What is this going to be?
I can't wait to tell
Honestly,
you.
Honestly, Scooby-Doo vibes.
Yeah.
I was setting myself up for something really scary. I think because you used 13 ghosts in the same sentence as Saw, so that really scared me.
Well, it's like a game. It seemed like there's, you know, they're I think pawns, it, like, pawns in a game.
And the way it's stylized to this like rapid editing and this really frantic pace of things that has since people don't really do that anymore, and it was just really popular at this time, I think, where it's like
I'm very confused by this like car impound part of the trailer that Matthew Lillard was in, but then he's also in the I mean, you're gonna tell me, but right now I'm like,
what's the connection
about? Yeah. What is this about?
All right, well, let's get into it. I will answer all these questions and more.
Thank you.
I have tried a lot of meal kits in my day because I don't like to cook. I need as much help as I can get when it comes to meal times. But a lot of the kits I've tried, you know, they leave a little something to be desired. They're not super great quality, or maybe there's not great variety, or they're feel just kind of unhealthy. So imagine my surprise when I found Marley Spoon and discovered it doesn't have to be that way. You can have it all. I'm so happy this podcast is sponsored by Marley Spoon. They created the best tasting meal kit money can buy, and with my code TOOSCARY, you can get up to 25 free meals. They have over 100 meals to choose from each week, so you will not be getting bored. Last night, I made a shrimp burrito bowl that was so good, and tonight I'm making a Shion-style cumin turkey burger with pickled veggies and five-spice fries. Excuse me, am I a five-star chef? You have any idea how boring all the stuff I usually make is? This is such a treat. And usually for something like this, I would pay probably $40 to have something delivered to me, and it would probably be gross and soggy by the time it got here anyways. So thank God for Marley Spoon. And you can customize many of the recipes. So whether you're looking for vegetarian, family-friendly, low-carb, they got you covered. They also have an online market of pantry essentials like snacks and ready-to-eat options. I'm telling you, you can have it all. I got a kit to make cookies in my first box. So experience the most personalized meal kit today with Marley Spoon. Head to marleyspoon.com/offer/too-scary and use code too scary for up to 25 free meals. That's right, up to 25 free meals with Marley Spoon. One last time, that's marleyspoon.com/offer/too scary for up to 25 free meals. And make sure you use my promo code too scary so they know I sent you.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So we start in that junkyard with all the cars. That is our opening scene.
Great. Getting one of my questions answered off the top.
Right out the gate. It's nighttime. It's like this truck full of seemingly like a secret service type of, it's like a crew of, it's a crew, but their vibe is not of a, like an official government thing. They have like a symbol on the door of, looks kind of vaguely witchcrafty or something like that. So they're like, are these ghost hunters? And out of this truck comes Matthew Lillard and F. Murray Abraham, who F. Murray Abraham is Cyrus. He seems to be in charge. He looks like a kind of typical evil rich man. He's got a cane and a little scarf like around his neck.
Like a little ascot.
Yeah, a little ascot. And Matthew Lillard's character's name is Dennis. He steps out of the car and immediately collapses in pain and is grabbing his head. We don't really know what's going on, but he's saying, you know, oh, like it's bad. Like, it's my opinion. We should get the hell out of here. And Cyrus is like, no, like, this is what we came here to do. Tell me where he is. Tell me where he is. And Dennis puts his hand in the soil or like next to him, like in the dirt next to him to feel. And he gets flashes of visions, really quick cuts of things. And pulls his hand away and he looks really scared and overwhelmed. And he said, you said he only killed 9 people. Cyrus says he killed 9 people while he was alive.
Oh, these ghosts mean business. Oh, no.
And Dennis says there are over 40 victims here. And so we learn that Dennis is some sort of psychic, has visions of ghosts, and it's clear that they're hunting one specific ghost in this junkyard. They've pinpointed his location there, and Dennis is helping them find it. They spring out this like glass cage, seems like where they're going to lure the ghost into, has some inscriptions on the wall, on the glass of it. We don't know what that means yet, but it's clear that they have a little plan to catch this ghost. And as they're about to enact it, these two people run up like, stop, you can't do this. Seemingly some ghost rights activists. Is there vibe?
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yes.
And they're like, ghost, these are human beings that you're hunting. They're not animals.
Didn't this guy kill 40 people?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Dennis rolls his eyes. Is like, they're dead human beings. Like, don't be ridiculous. And there's some mention.
Better argument is that this ghost has killed 40 people.
Yeah, let's not worry about that. but there's it's a woman and a man, these ghost right activists. And and the woman or the man says something to Cyrus like, you'll never pull it off, not without a 13th ghost. And Dennis says, what's he talking about, 13th ghost? You hired me for 12 ghosts. This is the 12th ghost. After this, I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm not helping you with anymore. Like, this is, my contract is up. Cyrus kind of waves it away. Yeah, whatever. Let's just get this done. And waves away the ghost right activists as well. And is like, we're doing this. We're here. We're doing it. Release the bait. And a truck comes out spraying blood and severed limbs everywhere. Like, this is the bait for the ghost, which is also like, is this ghost stupid? Like, I don't understand.
Where did these limbs come from?
I don't know. Previous expeditions that have gone awry, perhaps. But so then the bait works, and we see men being killed left and right by an invisible force that we don't see. But then some of them put on these glasses that then allow them to see the ghosts.
Oh, wait, is it people from the like ghost hunting place that are being killed?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
They're pretty much everybody is being killed. It's a real bloodbath. And there's one man that is like climbing up a side of a little wall of crushed cars to try to get away. And from the inside of a trunk of a car, something pulls him in and breaks him in half, like backwards.
Oh.
And he gets sucked in.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's nasty. But eventually they're able to lure the ghost into this cage, and they get him in there with another guy. One of the other ghost hunters is pulled in there, and this ghost, we get a look at it. It's huge. It's a big, huge, tall man, scary man. And
big, huge, tall man.
And he is bashing this other man to death in there, and Dennis is taking the glasses off and putting them on, and it goes back and forth a lot between someone reacting to something invisible to being able to see it, like in The Invisible Man, kind of like a lot of it is just like people being flung around by an invisible person. And so they get it in the cage, and then they're able to kind of assess the damage, what's gone on, and seemingly the only survivors are Kalina is the female ghost rights activist, and Dennis. And we see Cyrus has been killed. His throat has been slit by like a piece of metal is sticking out of his throat. Basically everybody dies.
Wow.
And then we get the title card and go into a new scene that's all brightly, warmly lit of Tony Shalhoub and his family. His name is Arthur, and he has a daughter, teenage daughter, Shannon Elizabeth. Her name is Kathy, and a younger son named Bobby, who's probably 8.
Okay.
No, he's probably older. I don't know. But he's young. And then his wife, and then the camera spins, well, like slowly turns and moves across the house, and we hear sound design of a fire alarm and screaming and crying and like in a hospital, like she's not going to make it. And through this long camera panning, it like shows the house changing. And through the sequence, we learn that the mother has died. Arthur's wife has died in a fire. And it reminded me of the shot in New Moon where the camera is just rotating around Kristen Stewart
while
as the seasons
depressed.
Are passing.
Yeah. Uh-huh. There's a possibility. Great scene.
It is a great scene. So then we see present day, this family's not doing great. It seems like they're a little overwhelmed and feeling the loss of their mother and wife. And they have hired a nanny named Maggie to help take care of Bobby and Kathy. But the place is messy. It's in disarray. Arthur's in over his head struggling to keep everything in order. He's tripping over Bobby's toys, and he's got a short temper. He's clearly really overwhelmed by raising his kids alone now. And there's a knock at the door, and it's a lawyer, and the kids are like, are they going to make us leave the house. The kids say something in here where they're like, well, if we had more money, we would have more space, so we could get a nicer place. And Arthur's like, well, we don't have more money. It's just very funny to be like, well, Dad, if you just had more money, things would be good.
Get your shit together, Dad.
Yeah. This is also, I believe, only 6 months after losing his wife. So it's like, yeah, we're not going to be bouncing back quite that quickly, kids. That's not how it works.
Also, the kids are like old enough to like be okay too, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like he has like a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. Like that shit's crazy. Right. These kids, like, you got to learn how to pick up after yourself.
Yeah. Kathy looks like basically an adult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this lawyer arrives. His name is Ben Moss. He's got a weird vibe right out the gate. And he's like, your Uncle Cyrus left you something. He left you a video message that I'm supposed to play for you in the event of his death. And puts on this weird little film of Cyrus. And the kids are like, Uncle Cyrus, we didn't know we had Uncle Cyrus. And they're like, yeah, he blew the family fortune. And all the kids are like, our family fortune? We have a family fortune? And he says, no, like, Uncle Cyrus blew it all. But so we see this video of Uncle Cyrus talking to camera. And he says, you know, one of my greatest regrets is that we didn't get to spend more time together. And so to make it up to you, I'm leaving you my house in my will, and here's the key for it. The lawyer hands Arthur a key, and it's like, I know this doesn't make up for it, for the, you know, us not having a relationship, but hopefully it can bring you some happiness and make your life easier, whatever. And so they're like, hell yeah, free house, let's go check it out. So they all drive. And the lawyer has a sinister vibe about him. And so does the video of Cyrus. He's like, like, it all seems very creepy and weird. And they just kind of accept it at face value as just a cool, nice thing that's happened to them. So we get to the house, and it is real crazy looking. It's an entirely glass house with little metal panels and writing inscribed on the glass in Latin, and looks, yeah, just like very strange. It's really, I think it is good production design. I think Roger Ebert was right about that. And as they arrive at the house and they're all like, whoa, it's so cool. It's just like not like a house that anybody would live in, you know, like mm-hmm. this is a museum. It's mm-hmm. a crazy place. And as they arrive at the house, Dennis is outside in an electrician uniform being like, oh, like the power's out on the block. And I think it's this house that's made the shortage happen. So I need to get inside to see the breakers. The lawyer is suspicious and doesn't want to let him in. But eventually he does. Dennis is quite persistent. And eventually they all go in.
Can't say no to Lillard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. And they all go in, and inside it is equally weird, and there's artifacts everywhere, again, Latin inscribed on every door and window. I mean, everything's glass, so Latin everywhere. And the lawyer explains it like, your uncle was a collector of many things. And they all just think this is really cool. And as soon as they go inside, we see Dennis kind of grab his head again, like he's having a vision, and he shakes his head, is like, what did you do, Cyrus? What did you do? Asks to be directed to the basement where the breakers are, and goes downstairs in the basement, and again, like, collapses in pain. Like, it seems like it's getting worse, these visions. He's getting closer to ghosts is what it seems like. And he eventually pulls out his ghost glasses and looks at one of the rooms in the basement. There's like a bunch of different compartments in this basement, little individual rooms, and looks in one room, and a man who is like shredded, a fully shredded man in the real sense of shredded, not like Cabin in the Woods man shredded.
Not hot.
not hot, literally shredded up with a baseball bat, charges at Matthew, at Dennis, and like swings the bat, but he is behind a glass pane that's inscribed with the Latin. And so he can't get to Dennis, but it scares Dennis. Dennis is like, oh, fuck. Looks around. We see that there is a ghost in each one of these compartments.
12?
We don't know yet, but yeah, probably. And so we see a bunch of the ghosts, little glimpses of, they're really fast glimpses at first. We see one room that you can't even really see in it because it's just covered in blood. And you see like the top of a woman's head. We see someone with nails sticking out, like big nails sticking out of his face. And someone that's head is in a metal cage, like just the head part. But then the bars in front of his face are pressed open so he can still, it's very, actually very funny. Just like a little metal box on his head, a little cage on his head, but the cage is open and in the face part. And Dennis runs upstairs screaming. He's freaked out. While this is happening, Kathy, Maggie, and Bobby have gone off to explore the house a bit, and the lawyer and Arthur are sitting and going over paperwork and stuff. Arthur's like, I would never be able to afford the mortgage on this house. Like, and the lawyer's saying, like, no, it's all taken care of. You don't have to worry about any of that. So they're in the room together, and in busts Dennis screaming, like, we got it. Everybody got to get out of here. And they're like, well, what's going on with the electricity? Like, what's happening? He's like, I'm not an electrician. I used to hunt ghosts with your uncle. And it's like this really silent moment. And then Tony Shalhoub goes, goats? And Dennis is like, ghosts, ghosts. And of course, they're, you know, not taking him seriously. The lawyer, you can see, might know what he's talking about, but is trying to convince Arthur otherwise, saying, this guy's crazy. I think he owed, or your uncle owed him money. That's what this is about. And Dennis is saying, no, I swear, you guys need to get out of the house. And then has a big vision and collapses to the ground. And Arthur gets up to help him and says, are you okay? And puts his hands on him. And at that moment, Dennis gets a flash of how Arthur's wife died. He sees the fire and he sees the whole thing. And he says, like, don't, like, get your hand off me. Don't touch me. Mm. And at this moment, the lawyer goes down into the basement. He is wearing the glasses and he walks down this row of all the little cells, compartments, whatever. And he's being rude to all of the ghosts. He sees them and he's like, one of them is like, or he says to the shredded baseball bat guy, like, rough day. And
Jesus.
And then there's a little boy that has an arrow through his head. And he says, what are you staring at? And just like stops at each one of these things. There's a naked woman who also is like covered in cuts. And he says, nice tits.
What?
So he's just
gone so far.
He is just being real rude to all these ghosts.
That's really rude.
So casual about the supernatural, this ghost, this lawyer.
Yeah, he knows what's going on. He's been wise to what's up and been lying about it. But he walks to this kind of back room in the basement and grabs a big suitcase of money. And as he lifts it, we see that it was holding down a lever that is now released. He doesn't notice, and he's counting his money, and he's like, not so bad for a day's work.
Oh, he's about to get killed by those ghosts he taunted.
And we see that these levers being lifted set the whole house into motion. And so the room, like, doors start opening, other doors start closing. It's really cool. It's like a little puzzle box house and just kind of keeps moving throughout the whole course of the film. But he's doesn't like notice this happening, and he's just counting his money, and he walks out into that hallway, and wouldn't you know it, that lady, the woman, naked woman, is now out in the hallway facing him. And he goes,
ooh, baby.
He goes, oh, about earlier. I didn't mean it. And she's got a big knife in her hand. She's covered in blood. And she's just walking towards him silently. And he's stepping backwards, stepping backwards, stepping backwards. And then a sliding door slides closed on him, cutting him in half vertically, hot dog style.
Holy shit.
Like perfectly in half through his whole body. His tie falls off. His glasses fall. He's just like frozen for a moment. And then the front half of his body slides down the glass and the back half of his body is still up. So you see his like, it's like a cross section. You see his like brain and his insides.
Ew!
It's nasty. I had forgotten about that part and it got me. I was surprised.
So now do we have 13 ghosts? How does this work? I guess Matthew Lillard has to catch the ghost first before there's like a 13th ghost.
Yeah, we'll get there. There is some loose explanation to it. I don't know that it's airtight.
Okay.
But so Arthur and Dennis are now, because the house is moving, Arthur is like, okay, something's going on. And Dennis is like, I'm telling you, like, we need to get out of here. And Arthur, you know, might not believe him about the ghosts, but is at least freaked out that the whole house is moving now. And is like, where are my kids? I do want to get out of the house because I don't know what's happening. So they go looking for the kids. Kathy is upstairs in what she has basically claimed as her room. There's like a bedroom with a nice bathroom. And she's in the bathroom smiling so big, brushing her hair in the mirror, just like staring at her reflection, like so happy with her big new beautiful house, even though I feel like it's moving and she should know that too, but she doesn't seem to be bothered by it, and she's just like thrilled that she lives in this huge house now. And there's a pair of glasses next to her on the whatever sink in the bathroom, and the camera like moves through them. So now we get to see that we're seeing through the glasses as well. And we see that this whole bathroom is covered in blood. And Kathy's just brushing her hair, looking so happy. She can't see any of this because she's not wearing the glasses. And next to her, the naked woman appears.
Oh no.
Stares at her own reflection in the mirror, starts kind of touching her own hair.
Bitch just loved to look in the mirror.
That's right. And the ghost gets in the bath, which is filled with blood.
Ew.
And we think maybe this is where she died. We get an overhead view, and on the floor it says, I'm sorry. I don't know.
Oh, she killed herself?
Is it where she died? Because that doesn't really make sense. I don't know. I hadn't really thought about that. But it looks like a crime scene where she could have died. Maybe it's a recreation. Mm-hmm. Maybe it actually happened in another house. And for some reason, we're seeing it here. Anyways, Kathy walks over to the bathtub, starts drawing a bath. And the naked ghost in the bath is just kind of staring at her, looking mad, like, I'm in here.
Get out.
Wait your turn.
This is my bathroom.
Wait your turn, bitch. And then Kathy is taking little cups of water into her hand and splashing them on her face. And then the water turns to blood and she's filling up her hands with blood, water. She can't see it that way. It looks like regular water to her. It keeps going back and forth between what she sees and what the ghost realm reality is. And right as she's about, we see that the lady ghost is getting mad, getting her knife out again, like, this bitch is ruining my bath time. And as she's about to stab her, and as Kathy's about to splash blood water on her face, Arthur finds her and like knocks on the door and is like, Kathy, we got to get out of here, time for us to go. So Kathy gets up and walks away. And he says, where's Bobby? Is he with Maggie? Maggie walks in at that moment saying, he was with me, but we were playing. He got away. I don't know where he went.
Uh-oh.
We see Bobby alone, riding a little scooter around the house and having a grand old time. And he gets to the top of the stairs that lead to the basement. And there are some voices saying, Poppy, come down into the basement. Jesus. And he is wearing a pair of glasses. He found a pair of glasses in a room somewhere and just thought they seemed like cool glasses. So he's wearing them.
Sure.
And he sees someone down in the basement, like cross the hall quickly so he can't tell who it was. But he's like going, Maggie, is that you? And starts walking down there. And we hear another voice, similar ghosty voice, saying like, no, Bobby, like, stay upstairs. Don't come down here, Bobby. But he keeps going.
The glasses make you able to hear them, too?
I guess so.
I don't know.
Okay.
But Arthur, Maggie, and Kathy are together, and they're trying to find an exit. Dennis is sitting in a chair in the room that they're in, looking really defeated, and he's like, don't bother. Like, it's sealed. Like, we're not fucking getting out of here. This is, like, the whole point of the house, and what's happening is we're supposed to be trapped in here. Mm-hmm. And they're like not totally willing to accept this yet. And they're like, okay, well, either way, we have to go find Bobby and help us find Bobby. And as they're walking out, Maggie says, what happened to the lawyer? Did the lawyer split? Which I thought was funny.
Little does she know.
And Dennis explains a bit here that the writing on the glass walls are containment spells, and ghosts can't pass them. So they're all kind of laughing at this, like, ghost rules. And he says the spiritual realm does have rules, and that's just the way it is. So as long as we're behind a closed glass door, a ghost wouldn't be able to get us on the other side. He says, and all the ghosts are in the basement. Like, I saw them. I was down there earlier. They're all in the basement. And Arthur realizes that's where Bobby is, and he starts walking down.
Did they believe him that there are ghosts, or are they just like, okay, man, whatever?
Not yet.
Okay.
None of them have seen them except
right.
for him.
Right.
So I think they know something is wrong, but I think they're still rolling their eyes a bit at the ghost thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Arthur starts heading down at the basement. Dennis says, did I say there was a petting zoo down there, man? No, I said there were ghosts down there. He's a little Bill nice, Paxton-y nice. In Aliens, uh-huh. too. I feel like it's that kind nice. Of vibe. But he's like, well, I think my son's down here, so I'm going down here. Sorry. And then we cut back to Bobby, who is looking around in the hallways, hearing noises, peeking around corners, and he sees a ghost, and we don't get a good look at it. It looks like a woman that has her neck broken, and he runs, and as he's running, he sees just a torso, like, moving around that's wrapped in saran wrap with a head next to it in a plastic bag.
Ew.
That's kind of moving towards him, and then he runs again and runs into a wall, and it knocks him over. And then he sees his mom, and she has a little IV bag with her. Like, she's in a hospital gown with burn marks on her face.
Oh my God.
Oh, sad. That's sad.
And she says, go upstairs, Bobby, go upstairs.
Oh.
And then he sees Cyrus. And this is our first look at Cyrus, but Bobby doesn't know who Cyrus is, but Cyrus just looks like a creepy rich man with a slit throat now. And mm-hmm. so Bobby just gets up and starts, I think, running to try to find how to get back upstairs. And so then the basement is really big also, like, there's a lot of corridors and it's always shifting. And so we don't, like, it's hard to gauge, like, how far you are from anything, like, where anybody else is. They're also all soundproof glass things so that you can't, like, hear someone screaming somewhere else.
Oof.
Okay.
So then Maggie, Dennis, and Kathy go downstairs into the basement in search of Bobby and Arthur, and split up into groups of two, because they're like, it's big down here. So Arthur goes with Kathy, and Dennis goes with Maggie. And as they get down there, Dennis sees, like, oh, fuck, the doors are open. Why are these doors open? Oh, this is not good. And they're kind of asking him, like, what do you mean about, like, these ghosts? Like, this is stupid. And he's like, you know, most ghosts are harmless. Sure, like, but these ghosts are ghosts that died people that died violent deaths. And when you die a violent death, you stay in a torture realm. Like, you stay violent.
That sucks.
Yeah, I hope that's not
true. Isn't that what sort of the logic of, was it The Grudge?
Yes, and I think...
We've heard that ideology before about if you die in a bad way.
Or something like that.
Something like that, yeah. I like when, like, logic about things like this carries over from different films or whatever. It's like, okay, cool. This is a rule we just decided exists.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. I buy it. Violent ghosts from violent deaths. Tracks.
Totally.
But so Dennis and Maggie are walking down a hall together. Dennis is wearing the glasses. Maggie isn't. And he's like, I wear the glasses. Like, I can prove to you that they're down here. You'll see one eventually. She puts them on. She can't see it. She's like, I don't see anything. He's like, give back to me. Let me see. Puts one on and looks in a room, and a ghost jumps out at him. And it's called the hammer. He's just called the hammer, and he has nails all in him, and he's got a big hammer. And Dennis says, I hate when they do that. They wait till your face is all up close to the glass, and then they jump out at you. And he then gives Maggie the glasses, and because the hammer is behind glass, like, they're not in immediate danger, she's able to just look at the ghost. And is like, oh, fuck, okay, well, yeah, that is real, that is what's happening. And Dennis turns and sees one door that is open, has a particular sign above it, symbol, and he says, oh, fuck, the jackal is out. And if the jackal is out, screw Bobby, we need to get out of here, like, let's find our way out. And as they turn to leave, Dennis gets another vision, and we see it is a vision of Dennis being killed by the ghosts.
He sees himself being killed.
Yes.
Yikes.
Which is not good.
So he can see into the future, too.
I guess so, but not too distant future.
Uh-oh.
But he looks scared by this, and they're trying to find their way out. And we see Kathy and Arthur are in a different part of the basement. And down at the end of the hallway, we see the jackal, who is the one with the little cage on his head. Mm. And he charges at Kathy, and... I think she has glasses on. One of them does and one of them doesn't. And so this whole scene keeps, again, cutting back and forth between invisible action and the jackal actually being there. And he just, like, uses his fingernails and is, like, scratching her all over, like,
ew,
slicing her face. He slices her clothes off. There's one shot that's, like, very this time period only of, like, her shirt by her bra being ripped off, and it's like, okay, we don't need that shot. But she gets fucked up, and she gets, like, lifted up into the air. Arthur sees this all and goes to try to save her, but I think he's the one that, like, can't see what's happening, so he's like, I don't know what the fuck to do. And at this moment, someone throws a flare in, and we turn and see that it is Kalina, the ghost's right activist woman, showing up at this time. And apparently
she's alive. Okay.
And she's got the glasses on, and she throws this flare, and it scares the jackal off, which is just also very funny. Like, I guess flares spook them. and they're able to pull Kathy away, and they, like, get up out of the basement and to safety, at least, like, a little brief moment of safety. And at this point, Dennis and Maggie are also trying to run, and they see the little boy ghost. They see the slashed woman again. They're, like, running, seeing all these ghosts. They're like, oh, fuck, oh, fuck. And then the five of them meet up, and they, like, get to the same area. And Dennis is...
But not Bobby.
Bobby's
still missing.
Yeah,
okay.
But Dennis says to Kalina, like, how the fuck, why are you here? How did you get in? And she says, I got in through an opening when the house was moving, but don't get your hopes up. It's not going to happen again. And it's like, okay, well, that's convenient.
Yeah.
And she's saying, oh, she says to Arthur, she's kind of saying it under her breath, like, I can't believe Cyrus actually built this. And she's got little spell books with her and all these little things, like she's kind of knows what's going on. And she says, we're in the middle of a machine built by the devil and powered by the dead. And I came here to set these souls free. And so if you want me to help you find your son, you have to help me first.
Okay, so just like let them loose on the general public?
Bad though.
Are you gonna keep them from murdering people?
That's my biggest question about this, is especially because we got that line in the beginning that they are still able to like kill people out in the wild. Like
this
that
guy one just attacked her and scratched her.
Yeah.
So,
but I feel like I could maybe buy it if it was like they're only acting this way because they're imprisoned and they're trying to get free.
Right.
But there's the opening scene where they are out in free. The world, and it said that he killed 40 people after he had died. So,
yeah,
it doesn't make sense.
But we're still supposed to we're on the side of the ghost rights activist, though. We're like a fan of hers.
I guess, but I am I'm questioning it for sure. Just like that seems like a weird plan. I'd be a little more concerned about the alive human boy.
Mm-hmm.
And Arthur turns to Kathy to be like, what do you think? And Kathy is gone. I don't know where she went. They're like, oh, fuck, where the hell did she go? She's like all wounded. Where the heck did she go?
Oh, fuck. Oh, no, I should have been paying attention to my daughter who got just attacked by a ghost.
Kalina says at this point, we have to get to the library. The library has protective spells all around it. If we can get in there, like, we'll be safe. And so they all get in there, and Kalina says something to Dennis of, like, did you not tell him? He deserves to know about Arthur. And Arthur's like, what? What do I deserve to know? And Kalina says to him, 6 months ago at this hospital was like one of the ghosts that we caught. And Arthur puts it together and is like, are you telling me my wife is in here? My wife is one of the captured ghosts. And Kalina's like, yes, that's yeah. And Dennis did it. Dennis was the one that caught him. And Dennis is like, I didn't know who she was. Like, Cyrus picked all the people. Like, I never was in charge of any of that. That
so
wasn't my job.
Did they kill her and then get her? Or they got her after she had died?
Yes.
I see. Okay.
But weird that they only picked super violent ghosts and then this mom.
It's about dying violently, I think. And so she died violently because she was burned.
Yeah, but just because you die violently doesn't mean you're going to, like, try to murder. Oh, I guess the bath lady wasn't trying to, like, murder you necessarily.
She looked capable of it.
Okay.
More so than Arthur's wife, anyways. But we get some exposition here now from Kalina, where she pulls out her little spell book and she says, you can still save her soul. What's happening here is that they needed 12 earthbound spirits. They represent the black zodiac. We have 1, the firstborn son, 2, the torso, 3, the bound woman, 4, the withered lover. That's Arthur's wife.
Oh.
5, the torn prince, that's the baseball guy. 6, the angry princess, that's the naked lady. 7, the pilgrims, there's been a little glimpse of like a pilgrim lady in like the gallows. 8 and 9 are the great child and mother, and we've seen a glimpse of them as well. They're nasty. It's like an adult man dressed as a baby with like vomit all over his bib, and like an old woman like tending to him.
Ew, I don't like that.
It's really gross. And 10 is the hammer. He's the one with all the nails in him. 11 is the jackal. 12 is the juggernaut, which is the one that they captured in the beginning, the really big guy. Mm. And Kalina says the machine requires the energy of these specific spirits. And once you have them all, it like powers the center and can open or turn on the ocularis. And Arthur goes, ocularis? Looks in his like searching his memory, and he's like, if I remember it means the eye of hell. And she says, yeah, that's right. So if this all goes through, it will open the eye to hell. And Dennis says, well, wait a second. You said something about the 13th ghost. And like, what does that mean? The 13th ghost. And Kalina says, the 13th ghost is failsafe. It is a willing human sacrifice that must.
Did Cyrus kill himself in that juggernaut battle?
Possibly, but it says like it must be a sacrifice of love, of like pure good love. And so she says, Arthur, you're the 13th ghost.
Okay.
And you'll have to sacrifice yourself to save your kids. And that will be what like sets this all in motion. But you can stop it. I don't know. It's pretty convoluted. It's a lot of rules to remember.
Wait, so they need 13 ghosts in order to open the gate of hell, the hell gate. But then if that 13th ghost is a sacrifice of love, then it won't work.
Let's go with that. I don't actually know.
Okay,
retelling it, realizing it. I don't understand.
Maybe 12 ghosts can open the gate to hell. If a 13th person sacrifices himself out of love, it won't open the gate to hell.
I think that's right. I think
that's
that
how you
right.
keep the gate. Also, it's really funny. Like, we'll just keep going because the logic of this doesn't really matter. But I'm having a hard time finding a through line between the types of ghosts that we have. A pilgrim, a torso, a hammer, like all the classic stereotypes of ghosts. The adult baby.
That their production design team was just like designed these ghosts and then retroactively.
Well, let's see. We can make a torso. That's for sure. We can make
Yeah.
Pilgrims. That's the logical next step.
I've got this head-sized cage. Can that be one of them?
I've been trying to work this into a project
somewhere.
I made
this a while ago. I would love to put it to use.
And so Dennis at this moment says, okay, Arthur, let's go find your kids while there's still time. Like, this doesn't make sense. We just need to get out of here.
No, it does not.
And so they decide to go down into the basement one last time to try to find Bobby and Kathy. And they bring with them a loose pane of glass that has the same inscriptions on it as like a shield that they can hide behind. Not a bad plan. They go down into the basement, just the two of them. And then Maggie and Kalina are alone in the library. There's this big machine thing that's like spinning rings, like really big, like 20
like a bunch of like gears.
Yes, like a gear, like spinning thing. And I don't know, this is apparently the control room or something.
Sure.
I don't really know. And Maggie's wearing glasses and she sees Cyrus and like tries to get Kalina's attention and is like, oh fuck, I haven't seen this guy before, like there's one in here. Kalina turns, it grabs a book and knocks Maggie unconscious and takes off her glasses, and we see Cyrus remains. So he is not a ghost.
Oh, what?
He seemingly faked his death and is his accomplice is Kalina.
Okay, that honestly makes more sense in certain ways.
I guess so.
Sure.
In certain ways.
In certain ways, this is the correct choice.
Mm-hmm. And he's really mean to Kalina right out of the gate, yelling at her like, where's the spells, like, you idiot. She's like, I did everything you asked me to. I killed my partner, the other ghost, the ghost activist guy, and I lured them all here and whatever. And she like quickly turns into like kind of groveling to him, and he's just really mean to her. And then we go back downstairs and into the basement, and Dennis and Arthur are walking down the hall with their little glass shield. Dennis, I think, has one more vision of himself being killed and sees that it is the juggernaut that kills him. And looks down the hall and sees the hammer coming, the hammer guy. And in an act of self-sacrifice, or also maybe thinking like, oh, it's hammer guy, so I'm safe, says to Arthur, only one of us can fit behind this pane of glass, and kind of squeezes him into the corner so that the glass can protect him. and decides to fight the Hammer Ghost. And Hammer Ghost is winning and uses his hammer, smashes Dennis's hand. Dennis screams in pain. Ouch. And then the house starts moving again. More doors are opening. And we see finally the 12th ghost is the Juggernaut. And his is the last door to open. And he steps into the hall. Dennis is obviously very upset, realizing like, oh, this is it. And sure enough, the Juggernaut comes up and grabs Dennis and lifts him into the air and presses his body against the corner of a room, like basically breaking him in half internally.
Ew. Okay.
Oof. Yeah. So Dennis dies.
So that's how Matthew Lillard dies.
Bye.
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 Bye. Wait, did we already go over this? So does that mean that Arthur is still trying to kill himself or not trying to kill himself? Because we know that this ghost lady is not who she says she is.
I think they were trying to, yeah, find like another way to do it. I think he was kind of similarly to us, just like, what? Like, let me try to just get him and get out first.
Yeah, maybe I won't just kill myself.
Like, let me try something else first.
Like, okay, I hear you, but do another
okay, let's
thing.
Let's have that be the last plan.
I'll try something else.
That could be a backup for sure. It'll be a backup plan. But so now down in the basement, we see Arthur crying, mourning Dennis's death that he has just witnessed. And as he's crying,
sort of a sacrifice out of love.
You know, that's an argument that one could make. And again, one that is not explored in this film.
Okay, cool.
And as he's crying, we see through the glass his wife approaching him looking sad. And she puts her hand up on the glass. He puts his hand up on the glass, says, I miss you. I'm nothing without you. And we see back in the library, Kalina and Cyrus putting the last part of this plan into motion, and they're now playing some sort of Latin over speakers in the whole house. And as this Latin plays, the ghosts are drawn into the center of the house where this final ritual, I guess, must take place. So as Arthur's wife has her hand on the glass, she vanishes, like she has been called up into this main room. And we see Kalina saying to Cyrus, Arthur, you know, he's open to the sacrifice thing. He's open to it, but he won't do it unless he believes his kids are actually in danger. And Cyrus says, okay, so put them in danger. And
okay,
Kalina looks like horrified by this, which is really crazy because this seems very much like this guy's vibe. And I just don't think it's out of character for him to suggest this, but she seems really taken aback. So there's a little goodness left in Kalina.
Okay.
But then as they're walking to from the library to this like main center room, Cyrus presses some sort of lever that makes the walls of the room that they're in start closing, and Kalina is on the other side of the room and starts like trying to get out of the room and is yelling after him, Cyrus, Cyrus. And he says, I told you this project would take sacrifices. And she gets smushed between two panels of glass and her eyes pop out of her head.
Oh,
it looks pretty cheesy, and it cuts before anything gets too crazy because apparently they had it the whole death, and it would have given it an NC-17 rating, so they like cut it out just before. But so you just see her eyes start to like bulge out of her head and
ew,
like blood coming out of all of her orifices.
Lovely.
But this is, you know, why you don't date the guy that's trying to open the gate to hell.
Yeah.
Wait, Kalina and Cyrus were dating? Sorry, I missed that part.
Oh, yeah, sorry. They were, like, romantically involved. Sorry. When she...
Seemed like it.
When she knocks out Maggie, like, they immediately kiss. And then he starts being an asshole to her.
Okay. Okay.
But, yeah, having this plan, a little bit of a red flag for dating.
A little bit.
For future reference. We see the main room where this final ritual will happen. All those like spinning gear things. They're like, it's like a spherical thing with a bunch of different spinny parts. And in the center are Kathy and Bobby. And all the ghosts are now surrounding them, chanting in Latin, whatever. And Arthur runs up and sees this, and he sees Cyrus, and he's looking back and forth between Cyrus and the room, and he literally counts all 12 ghosts. He's like, one, two, again, we go through all of them. This was in the trailer, too, of just, like, counting to 12 each time, and it's like, okay.
It takes a long time to count to 12.
It takes a long time, and but he counts them all, and then he turns to Cyrus and says, if I'm the 13th ghost, who are you? Takes off his glasses, sees that Cyrus is not dead, charges at him, starts trying to beat him up, but Cyrus quickly gets the upper hand. He's got a little knife and he holds it to Arthur's throat and he's like, you're so pathetic, like you need to be the sacrifice. And as this is happening, we see Maggie has stayed in the control room. She has regained consciousness, I guess, and she just starts pulling levers, pressing buttons, making things go haywire. And so, I don't know, a little smoke is coming out of things. Things are, the ghosts are able to, I think it turns off the Latin chanting thing. And so the ghosts are able to, like, breaks the spell on them and they're able to just walk out. And they walk straight to Cyrus. And they all, there's like, you know that shot where it's like looking up and all of the heads are in a circle around him. So they're all just like looking down on him, being like, all right, we got you now, motherfucker. And they grab him and they toss him into the spinning thing and just chops him into a million little pieces because of how like fast it's spinning. It's just like a big metal spinning gears. Chops them all up. And Arthur puts the glasses back on and sees Dennis now as the last little motivational thing. Dennis says, you can still do this. You can finish this. You have the power within you. Little cryptic message, Dennis. Don't understand. Because again, this plan is a little...
And the power for what?
Knowledge of Latin? What is it?
But to do what?
I don't know. But
what's my goal here?
And he says, and Arthur's looking at this spinning thing, and every 15 seconds or so, the spinning rings line up in a way that they're flat. And so it would be like safe for 1 second. And so he takes a leap of faith and he runs in and is able to land perfectly in the middle with his
children.
He did it. He embraces them, protects them as the whole house basically explodes just from all these levers being pushed. Maggie's just doing something crazy and the house just explodes. And
like around them, but not around them. It doesn't hurt them.
They're like safe. All the glass shatters. They're safe.
Okay.
But then they after it all settles down, the like dust settles, they see the mom, Arthur's wife, there looking like she did when she was alive. Like something has been restored, I guess. Like maybe she's not trapped in this torture realm anymore. And she says, okay, I love you. And then she disappears. So they just have a nice moment. And then we see outside of the house, all the ghosts like just released into the wild. They're all free, which is, you know, musically treated like a happy ending. Like this is nice music of like,
but they don't disappear and become good like she did. They just like walk away.
They just walk away. No, and they walk away crazy. Like the jackal is still like running and crazy.
Off to murder other people.
And then it ends with Maggie saying, this is crazy. None of this was in my job description. I quit. End of the movie.
Wait, this movie was a delight. Honestly, I was smiling ear to ear the entire time.
It's pretty fun. I think this would be a really fun one to like watch with the group. It's Dude, so silly.
I love just boldly being like, yeah, it doesn't make sense. Yeah, let's just make a whole movie and like, no, don't explain it. No, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Yeah, just make, yeah, and then it ends. Yeah, we did it.
We did it.
Yeah, yes, we made a movie.
And it is based, I mean, there, no, I guess it's not based on a book, but there was another movie in the 60s that I, or in 1960.
I'm very curious that I'd be to know curious more about that one. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's fun. Matthew Lillard makes everything good. And Tony Shalhoub, too. I mean, I feel like they're pretty great in it. And so I think 17%
what's
is
not
harsh.
To love? That's harsh.
17%.
I will admit that it doesn't make sense.
Sure.
Yeah, I just can't get behind the being wanting to release them into the wild.
Well, especially because then we established that she is bad. Like, was she even actually a ghost rights actor? You know, like, what? We don't know.
I don't think she was. I think it was all an act pre-planned by her and Cyrus. Because she says, like, I did everything you asked.
Right. Okay, well, all right.
I loved it. I loved it. And the thing is, I don't have, like, anything to say about it.
I also don't.
I do think it's worth a watch if you're even just moderately brave, because I do think the production design is good. Matthew Lillard is great. See if you can figure out the plot better than
yeah,
we
would
did.
Love to know.
Drop us a note if it all makes sense to you. Yeah, it's just a fun, it's exactly 90 minutes. Love a 90 minute movie.
Amazing.
That's great. We love that.
It's on Netflix, so it's free. If you have Netflix. I guess it's not free for everybody, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You don't have to rent it.
No, it's just right there.
Netflix is increasing their prices, though. Henley, can you talk to them about
Henley,
that?
Henley, do you have something to do with that? is that you? Did you do that?
Yeah.
What do you have to say for yourself?
Could you speak to it, Henley, please?
Listen. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't know that. That thing about working at Netflix, you don't get a free subscription.
You don't?
Because they want you to like still be customers of the service. So be like paying for it to like
would
be
you,
able to
are you like allowed to not have Netflix if you work at Netflix?
Oh yeah. I mean, freedom and responsibility, baby. That's part of our culture. You could definitely not have Netflix. I don't know how you like, I bet a lot of people probably don't. I don't know.
I bet they all do.
I don't know. I guess you don't have to have Netflix to do certain jobs at Netflix. But yeah, probably not. I didn't know they were raising their prices. That's too bad.
People don't seem happy about it, but as long as they keep adding more content like 13 Ghosts, I'll pay any price.
Sure. Now, people tend to not be happy when you raise the price for something that they, you know, already have.
The thing that's kind of like bothering me about it is it feels like they're constantly raising their prices. It feels like it's too often that they're raising their prices.
Yeah.
And they claim that if you work at Netflix, the reason that you pay for it is because then you can have like, you know, an active voice as a subscriber. But the thing is I'm sure a bunch of employees are like, what the fuck? Stop raising your prices. And they're like, sorry.
Yeah.
We're going to do it anyway. We don't care. The stock also plummeted for Netflix.
Really?
I don't know whether you guys noticed that or not.
Whoa.
Yeah, I keep an eye on the stock.
Well, I do know that crypto has been suffering, so, and it's somewhat tied mm-hmm. to the stock market. Actually, I don't even know that confidently, but that's how it exists.
It
in
sounded
my brain.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, my mom actually sent me an article about that, and I have meant to ask her why she sent me that article. I have no idea why she would care, but I'll follow up.
All right, guys.
Were there any, I guess a Matthew Lillard impression is overdue.
Give us Lillard, baby. Give us Lillard.
From all of us here at Tuesk, it's just the same as my Bill Paxton. I can't separate the two in my head.
I'm trying to think about, what does he say in Scream?
Did I say there was a petting zoo down there?
I'm losing a lot of blood, man. What does he say in that? Oh, I can't remember. But
from all of us here at Too Scary Didn't Watch, goodbye.
Goodbye.
I don't know, might not have been our best, but I still liked it.
I still liked it. Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch. If you enjoyed the episode, please remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you really want to make our day, you can rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. You can also follow us on social media at TSDW Podcast. We are on Instagram and Twitter. And if you want even more content, you can become a patron at patreon.com/TSDW Podcast. We will be back next week with a regular episode. We love you a lot. Bye.